Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to GPS, GQ Pilot Sports, after further review, with the mayor every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. He's doing it hard body karate. He's better than it,
We need every team, every game, every season. Hey, listen, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, you got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is every version of the replay. Recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away, dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay, we keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. And when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Hey y'all, this is Halfpipe from Son of Berserk, No Self Control. Keep it tuned to Demaya After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio.
Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. There's some great sports talk and debate. Check out the mail on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. Call in.
GQ Power Radio.
Hey, this is your girl T. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, I'm chilling with the mayor on GQ Power Sports. He's doing a hard body karate. It's bada bay, bada bay, bada bay, bada
bay. Yo, what up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. Right now, you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
Here we are again. 47-yard try, his longest attempt of the game. He has missed his last two. And he sent the Giants to the Super Bowl. The kick is good, and the Giants are going to the Super Bowl.
You are now tuned in to GPS, GQ Palace Sports, after further review. With the mayor every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. He's doing it hard body karate. It's butter, baby. It's butter, baby. Butter, baby. Butter, baby.
GQ Palace Radio.
After an intro like that, man, you got no choice but to turn up. What's going on, man? You got the mayor in the house, man. After Further Review is in the building, man. Live and direct, man. Shout out to the big homie Rich, man. I like what you're doing right there, my dude. I like that. Shout out to the Farina in the building. Shout out to everybody out there, man, doing what they do, man. We're going to set this show off right quick, Rich. We're going to set this show off right quick, man, with a moment of silence, man. Two things right quick, you know what I mean? It's Jackie Robinson Day, and we want to give a salute to the people in Boston, man, you know what I mean? Because it was a year ago, man, that the thing went down at the Boston Marathon. So we want to give a moment of silence, man. We're going to do that right quick right now on GQ Palace Radio After Further Review. No doubt. Let's get it popping, man. Let's get this thing popping, man. You know what it is, man. This is the time of year, man, where it starts to get popping, man. A lot of things going on, man. NBA playoffs about to pop on Saturday. NHL playoffs about to pop tomorrow night. A lot of things going on, man. Baseball's popping off. Everybody's got something to do. Masters is popping off, man. So it's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to get in the building with. Boxing's about to pop off, man. Big weekend coming up, man, after a big weekend we just had with the Pacquiao and Bradley rematch and all that. So we're going to touch on all of that, man. Let's get it popping, man. You got the mail. You know the math, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation and all that good stuff right there. I want to set it off, man, and shout out, man, to baseball, man, for, you know, acknowledging and going all out the way they do, man, and making all the having all the teams wear number 42, man, for, you know, on Jackie Robinson Day and all that, you know what I mean? Because it's always going to, you know, that's always going to be a story, man, and something that's going to be relevant. It has to be continued on, and the story has to be told, and the struggle is going to continue, and it has to keep on, and we have to progress. So I think that baseball deserves a thumbs up for that, man, and the idea of wearing, everybody wearing number 42 is symbolizes it even more. And I just, you know, I appreciate that, you know, as a baseball dude, you know what I mean? And that's big. But, yeah, in Boston, man, we just want to acknowledge them, you know what I mean? And you know, we don't really rock with Boston like that on certain things, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that affected everybody. So we just want to acknowledge them and let them know that, you know, they in our thoughts and all that. So, yeah, man, so we live and direct in the building, man. I'm feeling good. You got the mayor in the house, man. April 15th, tax day and all that. Hope you handled your business and all that. Make it do what it do. GQ Palace is in the building, as always. You got my man Rich holding it down. The super intro and all that in the building. I like that, man. I was like, uh-oh. I was like, oh, snap. It got me in 3D vision and all that, man. That's a good look. What up, Mr. Vina? What's good? How you feeling? What's going on? You got the mayor in the house, man. Shout out to the Divas, man. Shout out to the Belvins, man. Shout out to Chicky, man. You know what I mean? Shout out to my man Scribio. I see you, cousin. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody in the whole GQ Palace unit, man. Shout out to everybody that's listening, man. You got the mayor in the building. My Yankees, I like what we're doing right now. You know, 7-6. We got rained out today against the Chicago Cubs. We're going to get a doubleheader in tomorrow. But I'm liking where we at right now, you know. Couple games we should have won, you know what I mean? But I can't cry with spilt milk. We still doing what we're supposed to do right now. The pitching could be a little bit better. The pitching could be, you know what I mean? But the hitters starting to come around. When that lineup gets busy, man, we do what we do. We do our numbers. We got the Cubs, and then we got a four-game set coming up over the Easter weekend with the Tampa Bay Rays, which is kind of like going to give a little measuring stick of where we are in the beginning of the season. I'm liking what the Yankee bats are doing. You know, we could do a little bit more, as always, like I said. But, you know, the hitting's going to come around. As long as we win the games we're supposed to win in the division, because we're going to have a lot of games in the division early. So we got to get that separation early. Boston's not going to be where they're at forever. They're going to get hot. You know what I mean? We got to catch everybody when they're down, you know what I mean, and try to establish some kind of lead. But the Blue Jays are right there with us, tied for first place right now early in the season. I don't even like talking about who's tied for first place or whatever. It's really early in the season. We just kind of like 2 weeks in. So, yeah, the Yankees are doing what they're supposed to do right now, 7-6 or 7-6. I'll take that. Did the MLB rankings yesterday on After Further Review. You know what I mean? I had the Yankees, I think, 6. You know, because I think that's where they're at right now. You know? And, you know, they're going to get better. I think they're going to get better. I had the top 10 for baseball. I had Brewers first. The Oakland A's were second. I had the Dodgers third. The Atlanta Braves fourth. San Francisco Giants fifth. St. Louis Cardinals sixth. And the Yankees are seventh. The Angels are 8th, the Tigers are 9th, and the Phillies are 10th. This is for the first week of the season. The Brewers won 9 in a row. They're real hot right now, so they're like the hottest team in the league right now. No disrespect to the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers are doing their numbers right now. But I just think that the Brewers are the best team in baseball right now as we speak. Because of that nine in a row winning streak. Pirates, your boy, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You know what it is. You know how we do it on a Tuesday night, 8 to 10 style. Real quick, NBA. Shout out, rest in peace to the New York Knicks and all of that. I don't want to get into the I told you so's of the situation and all that, but we knew what it was. You know what I mean? As realistic Knicks fans, you know, and I guess you can divide and conquer however you want to do it. You can call it however you want to call it. I say what it is, and I don't put no sugar coats on it, and don't try to pretend. And you can say whatever you want to say about being a Knicks fan, a bandwagon Knicks fan. I know more about the Knicks than you do. So I'm a fan, but I'm a realistic fan. I told you from the door the Knicks wasn't going to make the playoffs. Do I feel good about saying that? No, I do not feel good about saying that. But do I feel good about knowing that that's the truth about my team? You damn right. I feel good that I know that's the truth about my team. And I don't see it as, you know, with blinders on. You know what I mean? Because we're not good enough to see that Knicks team with blinders on. That Knicks team was full of holes, okay? So explain however you want to explain it all and make it feel like, oh, we should have did this, we could have did that. No, it is what it was. We had a nice little run towards the end of the season. Amari Stoudemire was coming back and showing some things. That's a good look. You know what I mean? But now you deal with the situation. Is Carmelo going to play? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to... Who wants to deal with that drama? And once again, Phil Jackson coming is cool. But so what? Phil Jackson is cool, but so what? The only way he's going to make the Knicks relevant is if he come down and coach. That's it. You're removed if you're upstairs. Nobody wants to hear, nobody cares about that. Come down and be seen. Make yourself relevant. Make the Knicks relevant. You want them to win? Make them relevant. Let's get it popping. So as a realistic Knicks fan, I feel good knowing in the fact that I know what I'm talking about and saying that they're not going to make the playoffs. Not because I didn't want them to make the playoffs, because you didn't see that in them. You didn't see that in them. Okay? So let's just call it what it is. And let's make sure that it happens next year or the year after, because next year we don't have nothing coming up in the draft. You know what I'm saying? We have no draft picks. You know what I mean? So we're going to have to basically sit another year and try to get better, try to convince some people to come and play for the Knicks. How do you do that? I think you do that with Phil Jackson as coach. No disrespect to Mike Woodson, but that's just me. Wanting to see the Knicks turning around and wanting the Knicks to be relevant and wanting the Knicks to be able to say, yeah, I'm a Knicks fan because X, Y, and Z. Okay, and I have people just laugh at you, oh, you're a Knicks fan, the Knicks are garbage. Because, you know, as soon as the Knicks start winning, it's going to be a whole different scenario. People are going to be Knicks fans coming out of the woodworks. Where was you at? I was right there, homie. Don't, you can't tell me nothing. I was right there, bomb. So let's rock out. But my thing is not, I can't win it every year. And when you know you're not going to win it, face facts. That's all. You know what I mean? Knicks have had a good team. But when is the last time the Knicks been relevant? Okay? So if you want the Knicks to be relevant, you got Phil Jackson. That's taking a small baby step in the right direction. Now put him on the floor and get him the coach. Now we're talking about something now. Now you might be a little bit more attracted to some free agents or something like that, or whatever money that you're working with. Make some things happen. But as long as you're doing it from a president of basketball operations perspective, you're not making them relevant, yo. So now it's like, oh, who's going to get to coach the Knicks now? That's the big question. Come on, now you got a lot of things. You can knock all of that out in one fell swoop. You can answer all of those questions. Bang. So we're trying to make it happen right now to see if Phil Jackson, because the talk, again, 3 and 4 years ago, about Phil Jackson coming to the Knicks was not about him being the president of basketball operations. That wasn't the talk. The talk was about Phil Jackson coming to coach the Knicks. Where this basketball president operation thing came from, I don't know. But to me, it's not going to really mean anything unless he's down there on the floor coaching. So I just spoke my little piece about the Knicks. You in the building, man. I'm in the building, man. GQ Palace is in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You know what to do. The big homies in the building. We got Miss Lavina in the house. We got Rich. Let me get a round of applause if my man Rich is in the building. Yes, Rich is not in the building. He's eating some lemon pie. He's eating some garlic butter chicken. That's my man in the house, yo. We doing it live and direct. We right here, man. So, yeah, man. That's my little thing. I gave my little speech on the Knicks or whatever. I'm going to take it back to the baseball chamber right quick. Yes, I'm going to talk about the New York Mets. What's the problem with the Mets, man? What's going on with them? Curtis Granderson has talked all that junk about the Mets fans being better fans than Yankee fans. They're having problems. Same old Mets, if you ask me. You know what I mean? No disrespect to them, but it just is what it is, man. You know, the Knicks and the Mets are not going to be relevant, man, until they get some serious people in here. And when I say serious, it's not Curtis Granderson, not him. They got, you know, Matt Harvey got hurt. That was a bad situation for them. You know what I mean? But I don't think Curtis Granderson was the answer. You know what I'm saying? And even though they got Ike Davis and they got some bats and things of that nature, the injury bug has always bothered the Mets. So they have to, you know, get away from that crowd. You know, but no disrespect to them and all that. But, you know, they're not going to be even on a level like with the Washington Nationals or the Atlanta Braves until they get serious about getting somebody in here that's going to make some noise. It's like when they got Gary Carter, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, they're serious now because Gary Carter was nice. You know what I mean? So they got him, and what happened? They turned around and won the World Series or whatever. But you know what I mean? That's basically with the Mets in their situation. Shout out to Bubba Watson right quick for winning the Masters, doing his thing, man, coming back and making his presence felt, winning for the second time in 3 years. So, you know, I think my man Elgin Kyler, no doubt he's the second game up on the real side. Yo, we got the mayor in the building, man. It's After Further Review. GQ Palace Radio is in effect right now. You know the mathematics. You know what it is. You know how it goes down on Tuesday nights, man. Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. Everybody's wearing the number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. And shout out to the people in Boston, the whole Massachusetts situation, man, for, you know, you know, dealing with what they're dealing with, man. You know, it's like a day of remembrance up there. So we just want to let them know we're thinking about them and all that. You know, I got to do it, man. I got my hockey people in the building with me, man. You know, so I got to shout them out and all that, man. Stanley Cup playoffs is going down tomorrow night, man. It goes down, puck drops and all that good stuff like that. They said the lines just lit up, man. The lines just lit up. All you gotta do is press one, and we can get the conversation popping. You got the man. You got the hard part down. 646-200-3838. You know what I'm saying? All you gotta do is press one, and get in on the conversation, and we can rock out. Yeah, Stanley Cup playoffs, man. You know, like I said, man, favorite time of the year. It's about to go down. If you don't like hockey, man, you really, really got to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, man, because that's the best time of the year. Every game, man, is like do or die. Games be on till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, see if you can hang out and all of that. The Rangers have a big series coming up with the Philadelphia Flyers. So that's going to be real big. You know what I mean? They have a rivalry going on. I did my little Stanley Cup playoff scenario and all that. I have my Rangers coming out against the Colorado Avalanche. It's going to be for the Stanley Cup Finals. So I really don't know what I'm talking about when it comes down to hockey, but I can hang out in the conversation, though. I like the Rangers, man, because, you know, the king, man, Henrik Lundqvist in goal for the Rangers, got to make a stand up, man, and do what they do. I think the acquisition of Martin St. Louis is going to help them in the end, and Boston could be had in the East. But this series against the Flyers is going to really, really tell a lot about where the Rangers are. You know what I mean? They came from a long way, 96 points over the season, man. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at. You know what I mean? But the Flyers had 94 points. So the season series was tied up 2-2. So it's basically 50-50 going in. You got to respect the Flyers, man, because the Flyers came on real strong towards the end of the year. So this series might be a toss-up, but it'll definitely go at least 6 games. It might go 7. If it does go 7, it'll be at Madison Square Garden. I think that's where the Rangers have the edge, and they'll win that series against the Philadelphia Flyers. The series out in the West to watch, I think, will be St. Louis against Chicago. I think the Chicago Blackhawks, defending Stanley Cup champs, playing St. Louis, and they went and got Ryan Miller to basically, this is the reason why they got Ryan Miller to play goal for them, to get them to the Stanley Cup Finals and possibly win it. So now they're going up against a team that's been there, done that, and let's see what St. Louis can do. The Blues finished with 111 points, and Chicago Blackhawks finished with 107. So that series is basically evenly matched as well. It's going to be a good series. Check it out. No, I'm good bread, man. I'm good bread. I'm ready to rock out, man. I'm ready to rock out. It's all good, man. I got this covered, man. You know what I'm saying? So with the matchups again in the NHL, man. Again, like I said, in the East, it's the Rangers and the Flyers. You got Pittsburgh and Columbus. You got Tampa Bay and Montreal. And you got the Boston Bruins against the Detroit Red Wings. In the West, you got Anaheim and Dallas. You know what I mean? You got San Jose and the Los Angeles Kings. You got Colorado and Minnesota. You got St. Louis and Chicago. So, yeah, I think Colorado's going to come out of the Western Conference. And I think the Rangers, it's going to be hard. But I think the Rangers can do it coming out of the East. over the weekend, you saw the fight. Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. You know what I mean? Pacquiao took care of his business. You know what I mean? Beating Timothy Bradley, unanimous decision over 12 rounds to take back his WBO welterweight title. Basically, it was just part two of the first fight that, I don't know, mysteriously that they gave to Timothy Bradley. I don't see how Timothy Bradley could even picture or imagine that he won the first fight. But anyway, I think Manny proved his point. I think at the end of the day, Manny, you know, not taking nothing away from Timothy Bradley, but Manny's when he wants to win, he's going to win that fight. And he came in smiling, happy. And when he does that, you know, that's going to be a problem. So I think Manny's back in the building, you know, and a fifth fight. Do we want to see a fifth fight with Juan Manuel Marquez? Really? Not really. To tell you the truth, not for what? You know what I mean? But and that'll probably happen because they're all being promoted by Bob Arum. So that's what we'll probably see coming down the line. Manny's next fight will probably be against Juan Manuel Marquez for the fifth time. The umpteenth time they're going to get it in. NFL, real quick, I wanted to say something about the situation with Donald Trump possibly being interested in purchasing the Buffalo Bills. You know, I just think, like, if you remember when Donald Trump was the owner of the New Jersey Generals of the USFL back in the days, like the early 80s, you know, he tried to go up against the NFL, and I think a lot of the owners, they still remember that, and it might be a problem for Donald Trump when he tries to purchase the Buffalo Bills. But again, on the other side of that, I think that if he does get ownership of the Buffalo Bills, he's going to move them to Los Angeles. I just think that's how Donald Trump would do. And would he be good for the NFL? Probably. Probably. Jerry Jones. You know what I mean? Why not? You know what I mean? But I think that, you know, he would ultimately move the Buffalo Bills to Los Angeles. And that's why I think that Donald Trump should not, you know, have anything to do with the ownership of the Buffalo Bills. I think that Buffalo is a city that deserves, you know, they deserve that. They deserve that team. You know what I mean? That AFL franchise, and they deserve that team in Buffalo. And I just think if Donald Trump got a hold of the Buffalo Bills, he would remove them from Buffalo and take them to L.A. Shout out to War Room Sports, man. Their podcast network jumped off today. Shout out to my man Dev and all of them over there at War Room Sports, making it do what it do. GQ Palace Radio is in the building in full effect, man. My man Rich talking about we're going to take a break now. We don't do breaks, man. I have to further review. We rock out, man. We do this, man, like we know how to do it, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. So we can rock out, man, however we want to swing it, man. It's the man of the house. NBA, man, we're going to get into a little NBA right now. Again, we're going to talk about some relevant things with the NBA since I gave my speech about the Knicks and all of that stuff right there. Indiana Pacers clinched the number one seed in the East. What does that really mean, the way they're playing ball right now? You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you can kind of say they backed into the number one seed. You know, them and Miami not playing ball the way they, you know, the way they know how to play ball, the way we're used to seeing them play ball. You know what I mean? Because the Heat 5-5 in their last 10, Indiana 4-6 in their last 10. So, you know, going into the playoffs on a note like that is not really really a good look. But you know what I mean? Look at what you got in the Eastern Conference. So Atlanta's going to be the eighth seed, so Indiana's going to probably end up playing them in the first round. And Miami will probably get either Charlotte or Washington, depending on how the 6 and 7 shakes out. Toronto would get either Charlotte or Washington, depending on how the 6 and 7 shakes out. And Chicago would play Brooklyn in that 4 and 5 seed. If Chicago makes it to the 4, because Toronto and them are tied for the third spot right now with one game left in the season. So it's really a jumble about, you know, playoff seeding, who's going where, who's going to be where. But at the end of the day, once again, it'll probably be Indiana and Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know. But is that home court advantage going to mean anything to Indiana the way they're playing ball right now? They're highly suspect. Roy Hibbert has got on the milk carton. He's missing in action, and you know they say that their team have, you know, they're fractured. Their egos could be shattered easily. You know what I mean? They are on top when they're winning, but they don't know how to deal with adversity. That's their problem. They got to deal with that. So that's what they wanted. They wanted the number one spot. So now they got the number one spot. So now the pressure's on, so they got to do something. You're listening to GQ Palace Radio, man. After further review, the mayor is holding it down. 8:27 on a Tuesday night. You know how we do it, man, from 8 to 10. 646-200-3838 is the math. Appreciate the listeners, man, for checking it out, man. You know what it is. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, and we can rock out. In the Western Conference, man, San Antonio Spurs doing what they do. They got home court in the West. But that Western Conference, man, is going to be a jumble. We knew that from the beginning of the season. The Western Conference is going to be a jumble. The 8 playoff teams are San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Los Angeles Clippers, Houston Rockets, Portland Trailblazers, Golden State Warriors, Dallas Mavericks, and Memphis Grizzlies. So that's how the playoffs shake out. There's one game left in the season. Dallas and Memphis are going to decide that 7th or 8th seed. Whoever gets the 8th seed is going to play San Antonio in the first round. I think that Memphis would be a tough go for San Antonio in the first round. They've always played San Antonio tough in the playoffs. And I think that it would be a test, you know, to see where they're at and actually get San Antonio ready if they want to make a deep run and go back to the NBA Finals. Dallas or Memphis would play Oklahoma City. In the first round, I think that'd probably be like a 4-1, 4-2 series at the most, give Oklahoma City some playoff run. A threat would be the second round series, whoever comes out of that second round. A Houston and Portland series is going to be real interesting. You know what I mean? Portland, you know, did their numbers at the beginning of the season, and they fell off, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. Do they have that spark back? You know, are they going to be able to, you know, do it when the playoffs come? And then Houston Rockets. Slight coward, this is the time of the year where you got to turn it up. You know what I mean? You got consideration for comeback player of the year award. You had a nice season. I can admit that much. I really was, you know, trying to play you out. You know what I mean? Because I really didn't respect you or your game. But you had a nice season this year. I can admit that much. Now it's time to, you know, this is where it pays off at. You know what I mean? Are you just a regular season dude, or are you going to make it happen in the playoffs? So, the loss of Patrick Beverley, that's going to hurt the Houston Rockets a lot. But I think that, you know, they still have a team that can, you know, make things happen. That first-round series, that Houston and Portland series, is going to be real interesting. Anybody could come out of the West. Anybody could come out of the Western Conference. You know what I mean? It could be either San Antonio. It could be the Clippers. You know what I mean? But anybody can come out of the West, so that's what makes the West real interesting. But we really got the East kind of like on smash. It might be Indiana or Miami, a call over here, a missed 3-point over there. Somebody stole the ball. Somebody, you know, didn't, you know, had a brain fart on the court. You know how that goes. So the teams that are used to being there are going to probably be the teams that are there at the end. So that's how we rock it out right now. You know, enough respect to the Knicks once again, you know what I mean? Hopefully these last couple of games, the season playing Brooklyn right now, to end the season. Maybe we could be a spoiler, you know what I mean? That's what I was saying earlier. Well, after further review, we could spoil somebody's season, go out on a good note, you know what I mean? So not mad at them, you know what I mean? It's kind of what we expected. You know, we won 54 games last year, but we can't dwell on what happened last year. We just got to look forward to next year and, you know, hopefully getting off to a good start, dealing with some situations as far as who wants to be here and how to make this team better. So I think if we can, you know, get the team better, then, you know, we could get up there in the Eastern Conference and make some noise and do what we need to do, because we can't look at draft picks. We can't look at none of that because we don't have any situations as far as draft picks are concerned. We just have to look at who wants to play in New York. Now, again, going back to the conversation, it would be more attractive if Phil Jackson was a coach. You would want to come here. You would want to attract the free agent. That's just me, or that's just me thinking outside the box or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the way the team is constituted right now, I don't think that this looks like an attractive situation for anybody who wants to come and win. You know, if you want to come and get paid, you know what I mean, then we'll see how that works out for you. But if you want to come and win, you know, we have to come and, you know, make this thing happen, because, you know, it's nothing like winning basketball in New York. You could be the king of the city, you know what I mean, as Patrick Ewing, as John Starks, you know what I mean, when there's nothing like it when the Knicks are winning. I mean, the NBA league office is in New York City. You know what I mean? So you know, why wouldn't, you know, the team in New York City, you know, be a winning team? No disrespect to the Brooklyn Nets or whatever, but it's about the mecca of basketball, Madison Square Garden and all that. So the Knicks need to be a good team. So we're here, man. After further review is in full effect, man. NHL playoffs popping off. NBA playoffs about to pop off on Saturday. We're going to get the first round matchups and all that later on in the week. So, because everything hasn't been finalized yet. We still got a couple of games left in the season. So, you know the math, man. If you want to talk about it, 646-200-3838. That is the mathematics in the building with the mayor in the house. After further review, back to baseball. Talking about what's going on, man, with these with the situation with Jackie Robinson Day, with all the players wearing number 42 and all that. I think that's a real, real big look. And I think that baseball needs to always do that to honor him, you know, and to make sure that, you know, people remember, you know, what it was like, and make sure that it always gets put on, you know, made aware and put on a higher plateau, and, you know, just have a day again. Just have a day where all the players wear that number 42 to symbolize the unity and to make sure that, you know, it's never forgotten by this generation or any generation that comes after. Because again, you know, Jackie Robinson means a lot to a lot of players, and yes, speaks to something else. Why a lot of they did a report, and they said that like 8% of Major League Baseball players are African American / Black or whatever, and I just think that that's a very, very low number, because we used to be, you know, play baseball. I think baseball is, you know, the best sport. It's my favorite sport. I love baseball. You know what I mean? And maybe, you know, it's become, you know, less on the scale because, you know, everybody wants to be a basketball player or maybe a football player, and baseball has, you know, less relevance or whatever. But I think that, you know, the way the game is marketed, it needs to be, you know, kind of marketed a little bit differently towards, you know, towards maybe an urban, you know, situation to make, you know, to draw up interest in the game. You know, it doesn't take that much money to play baseball, you know what I mean? Because we did it, you know what I mean, when we was younger. We just wanted to play, you know. But I just think the thrill of playing baseball is not as much as the thrill of playing basketball or football. So I think it's kind of like simple as that. But as far as having 8% in the league, that's kind of strange, you know what I mean? But again, it happens, and baseball needs to be put on a higher pedestal, man. And the way they're going with the game, and they're making the game really, really worse than what it is with the replay is not working. They just started. It's only 2 weeks into the season, but you're not supposed to have these types of decisions when you're still getting the replay wrong. Like when Dean Anna stole second base for the Yankees against the Boston Red Sox, his foot came off of second base, and the replay showed it, but they still called him safe. So I don't, you know, maybe, you know, the umpire's still getting it wrong. We don't need the umpires around, and we talked about that a couple years ago where maybe the umpires need to be replaced, but they're not going to ever do that. Put them out of a job, they're not going to do that. But it can't keep having these blown calls either. And the umpires are making themselves look crazy by having instant replay and still getting it wrong. So what are we doing with the instant replay? Why are we having instant replay if they're still getting the calls wrong? So, you know, that's not helping. Then this blocking the plate with the catches on the home plate collisions, that's not helping. They don't know what's blocking the plate. They don't know what's, you know, what's preventing the runner from scoring. They don't know how to call it. So the game is getting confusing. Nobody knows how to play the game anymore. Nobody knows the rules of how to play baseball anymore. So that's another thing that kind of, like, turns people off, because it's turning me off. And I'm a baseball fan, and I love baseball with a passion. But I can't get with all these. I don't know when, you know, when a catch is a catch, when you have to transfer the ball to the... I don't understand this. This just makes no sense to me. This is not baseball. What are you doing? What are you doing to the game? You're making the game more complicated than it is. You catch the ball, you run, throw the ball, and you hit the ball. That's what you do. That's all. It's simple math. So why are you making the game confusing? It's already 3 hours. You go to a baseball game, it's 3 hours. Why you got to sit through 3 hours of a baseball game? You should need to figure out how to shorten the game instead of figuring out how to put more constraints on the game. You say the replay is supposed to help the game out, but the replay is making the game more confusing. So I don't know. Maybe somebody can explain it to me, because I'm not understanding it right now. And then these other little different rules are making the game even more complicated. So holler at me, man. Let me know what's on your mind. Let's talk about it, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You know what it is, man. The mayor's in the building, man. It's Jackie Robinson Day, man. And also, man, we give a remembrance, man, to the people of Boston, man, Boston Marathon and all of that, man. So we're in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics, man. You got the mayor in the house. Yeah, man, keep it in on the baseball note, man. A hot team right now. Again, like we were talking about earlier, you know, we had the Milwaukee Brewers number one in the after further review baseball rankings. You know what I mean? But they lost their last game, so it's all good. They're still good. They still got, like, one of the best records in the league. They're 10-3, holding it down, doing what they're supposed to do. They got a plus 24 road differential. They won 6 games on the road. So, you know, they early season, they're doing what they need to do right now. And usually you have a couple of teams that kind of, like, get off on a little winning streak and do what they need to do, man, before the season starts. Like the Miami Marlins, they started off hot. Now all of a sudden they lost 8 games in a row. So, you know, they usually come back to reality or whatever. You got the Dodgers in first place in the West in the National League. You got the Atlanta Braves in first place in the National League, in the National League East. Yo, and then in the National League Central, you got the Milwaukee Brewers once again with a 10-3 record. Remember when they used to have a good team back in the days, man? If they were a good team, then I think the National League Central would really, really, really pop. You know, because St. Louis kind of runs that division. The Pirates were good last year. you know, Cincinnati really doesn't know what they want to do. Looks like they're not getting off to really a good start this year. You already know about the Chicago Cubs. So it's like time, or it's, you know, it's room for Milwaukee to slide in there and make a presence felt in that National League Central, you know, if they want to, you know, knock St. Louis off that perch. And they want to make Pittsburgh, figure out what they did wrong from last year. A.J. Burnett leaving, I think, is going to hurt the Pirates. He went to the Phillies, you know, and I think his presence and how he pitched last year helped the Pirates. But the Pirates don't have the strongest lineup in the world, even though they have MVP candidate and Andrew McCutchen, and they do have some bats, but their lineup is not going to get you a bunch of runs every single night. So Milwaukee can definitely sneak in there and make their presence felt and do some things in that National League Central and make it interesting, because right now they're 10-3 and they're leaving, they're in the building. So yeah, man. So again, 646-200-3838 is the mathematics. You want to get in on the conversation? Press 1. We can make it happen. We can rock out. We can touch on a bunch of different subjects, man. It's Jackie Robinson Day, so we're giving respect due to Mr. Jackie Robinson and his contributions to Major League Baseball and to the world at large. And we're giving a remembrance, man, to the people up in Boston, man. We're shouting them out, even though we don't rock with them on a usual basis. But we're going to show them some love and let them know that we're thinking about them down here. You know what I mean? So it is what it is, man. NHL playoffs about to jump off tomorrow night. NBA playoffs rock out on Saturday. Major League Baseball is popping. You know what it is. Donald Trump trying to get the Buffalo Bills. You know what it is with that. Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley Jr. fight. You know what it is with that. Bubba Watson winning the Masters. You know what it is with that. No Tiger Woods in the building. But it seems like it still was an interesting situation out there. You know what I mean? Going into the last day of the tournament. But Bubba Watson did what he had to do. And respect due his second one in the last 3 years. So I guess he's, you know, somebody that really be respected and dealt with. But everybody, I guess, is still waiting to see what Tiger Woods is going to do. His back was out, so he couldn't rock it out in the Masters or whatever. So, you know, it is what it is. Bubba Watson going to take the shine and probably be the number one player in the world and do what he does. Master Bell, you know what it is, 842. No world record, but it is what it is. We got Kia in the building. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Vegas Show. What's up? What's up, Kia? What's good? Welcome to the Vegas Show. What's up?
Nothing. I'm so sick. I'm getting under the weather today. I said, but I'm calling regardless. I feel like I'm getting sick.
Getting sick. Yeah, see, the Yankee game got rained out and all that.
It always rained. I said, oh.
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
Nothing. What's on my mind? Basketball season almost gone, over. My strike will be over soon, and, you know, I'm going to have a little comments after. Just, you know what? I done heard so many nonsense through this whole chat, but I've been quiet because I've been on strike. I've been quiet.
I want to kind of talk to you about that, too, but I'm going to wait. Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
This comment right here that you know. There's nothing worse than someone putting something out there that makes absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm.
To say, why you said, let me get it back. Gilbert Arenas scored 60 points on Kobe. And I'm sorry, I remember that game. You know, I'm sorry, like, I remember the game. I'm like, Kobe playing 60 points on Kobe. I think he called 60 points on the. I'm trying to, and in all these comments, I said to myself, and I've been on reflect and remember, this person is biased, like totally biased. This nonsense always come out of his mouth. But that has to be the ultimate, not the ultimate, but one of the ultimate nonsense I have heard in a sports setting. I was so like, but I didn't think I was still on this little strike. You know, because I'm going to talk about basketball. I just want to see the comments. We've been reading a lot of comments. You know, I don't care what people be, whatever. But don't put them. I don't care what anybody say about the Lakers or Kobe, but don't say nonsense. You say nonsense, and you're going to hear me. You say nonsense, and you're going to hear my mouth.
Okay.
I don't care. Kobe. I don't care if you don't like the Lakers, but don't say no nonsense about them. Then you won't hear my mouth. But if you say nonsense about Kobe and Lakers, you're going to hear my mouth.
So you say all of that. You say all of that to say what?
I'm saying all of that because I just also played this for basketball season and seeing how my Lakers play and hearing nonsense about a game that I'm trying. It's all frustration. I'm frustrated. I can't. You know, I'm not. I'm really frustrated. I really am frustrated. I'm one of these. I'm a frustrated fan right now. Pissed. I mean, pissed with a capital P.
You shouldn't be frustrated.
I am frustrated. I'm trying not to be frustrated over the season, and I've not watched a single Lakers game. I'm gonna watch DVR, but
that's the thing. It's like, I guess it's different levels of frustration too, because I'm a frustrated Knicks fan, but I watch games and I beat them in the head. That's how I take my frustration out. I beat them in the head. You take your frustration out by not watching them during a bad season or whatever, not talking. I discuss them because I'm disgusted. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, if the Knicks, I call it like I see it, if the Knicks, you know, they lose 10 in a row, you stink. What else are you supposed to say?
Right.
You know what I mean? If you play like garbage, you play like garbage. Straight like that. So.
What? I heard somebody say something. I didn't watch it. If I'm not mistaken, was Melo second in scoring for the league? I'm not sure. Was he second?
I don't know. Who cares? I don't know.
I'm trying to ask something. I'm asking, was he second? Like,
I don't know.
But my thing is that the talking, I heard somebody talking today about Melo, you know, and I truly don't think it's all the way falls on Melo in this game, this next season. I just don't think it's all Melo. Yes, you know, you have his issues, and it's not all Melo. It clearly is not. Somebody is scoring. Somebody is, but it's just not all Melo.
Okay, you said it's not all Melo like five times, right?
It's not.
You're right. It's not all Melo. You know what I mean? But again, you know, you kind of like got to look at it from, you know, the Felton situation. Tyson Chandler was hurt. Bargnani got hurt. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got to look at it, you know, Shumpert was out, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you got to look at it from all different type angles. And then you got to look at it from the perspective of, look, the situation with Amari Stoudemire, you know what I mean? So you look at it and take it, well, Carmelo's supposed to lead the team in scoring. Carmelo's supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to do this. He's supposed to do that. Carmelo got one foot out the door. So he really, it really don't matter whether it fall on him or not. Missed the playoffs for the first time in his career. Okay, so is that going to give him reason enough to stay? He knew what he was getting when he signed with the Knicks. The Knicks wasn't really no championship contender when he came here. So let's keep it all the way funky. Either you going to be here or you not. You going to be here through the rough times. Well, you're not. It's not going to always be peaches and cream, my dude. That's my point. If you can't rock when the times is hard, then we don't need you.
And I understand that part about you have to stay with the battle wounds. You got to lift these wounds, lift them up, lift these wounds, get over it. And but my thing was about, you know, the downgrade of Melo and, like, you know, this is all, you know, and these, like, clearly these guys are out, so, of course, it affected the team chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
This all does not fall, the weight does not fall on
Melo. No way.
No way.
What logic do they put behind it in saying that it does? I don't understand.
I'm just saying, when I'm reading some stuff, I'm clearly seeing this stuff, and I'm saying to myself, why is everybody all blaming Melo for this whole mixed demise or this whole...
Because he makes the most money.
Right, and that's why I just keep looking, shaking my head, knowing what's wrong.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, Carmelo Anthony is, you know, a nice piece to have. he's a nice, you know, piece to have. But you got, again, you know, the conversation was put pieces around him, put pieces around him. But he's got to show that he wants to be here. And that was my thing throughout the whole season. If you want to be here, go sign your extension, my G. If you want to test the free agent market, say that. Well, I want to, you know, see what happens or whatever. Now is your chance to see what happens. I don't care about you. You know what I mean? Because if you cared about being with the Knicks, you would squash all of that. I'm going to be here.
Right.
I can't, you know, and that's just my opinion. You know what I mean? And again, the difference that I have with so-called, you know, pie in the sky, diehard, quote-unquote, diehard Knicks fans is that they don't even see the forest for the trees, yo. You're going to beat me in the head with every excuse under the sun on why the Knicks still going to make it to the playoffs. You're going to beat me with every excuse under the sun on why the Knicks still going to make something happen in the NBA draft, even though they got no picks.
And
you know what I'm saying? That's all. I mean, be realistic with it.
Being frustrated, that would frustrate me. Not that I had no picks. Absolutely no picks. The picks
are. Yeah. What you gonna do?
Then you're supposed to
jump for joy and jump through hoops because Phil Jackson is the president of basketball operations. What does that mean? I don't understand that. What am I supposed to do with that? He's the president of basketball operations. What does he do? You know what I'm saying? And if you wanted to make a splash and make people know that you're serious about trying to get the situation popping, Phil Jackson should have said, I'm going to come back and coach the Knicks. Nobody cares about him being the president of basketball operations. Who cares about that?
What do you say? You want to be on the floor.
Yeah, you want to be, you know what I'm saying? If you want to make the Knicks relevant, my dude, that's just me, Kia. I'm just talking out the side of my neck right now. You know what I mean? I'm talking like being a Knicks fan from the heart. I think that the Knicks, you know, the Knicks should, you know, if he's not going to be the coach, hire somebody who has a connection to the Knicks.
My thing is, why not
Mark Jackson? Why not?
Can you warn Mark Jackson from Golden State?
Yeah. Do I think Mark Jackson would leave Golden State? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
In a minute. I think he would leave Golden State in a minute. If they offer him a job to coach the Knicks right now, I think Mark Jackson would leave in a minute and come and coach the Knicks.
Okay.
So what if he doesn't know the triangle offense? So what? Like, the triangle offense is the be-all, the end-all? I don't think so.
But I think Phil is Mark Jackson. If that was presented to Mark Jackson, I'm pretty sure Phil will put signs around Mark Jackson. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. You're right. Exactly.
And he would take those guys that's with the Lakers and bring them to New York.
I can see that happening too, you know what I mean? But I just think that, to me, kid, that's just me. That's just me talking to make a splash, to the Knicks to take over the back pages, yo. The Knicks will be relevant. They'll be talking about the Knicks like, oh, okay, Phil Jackson is serious. You know what I mean? If he doesn't want to come coach the Knicks, man, get somebody that's going to have a connection to the Knicks and make it automatic, like, oh, son, okay, you know what I'm saying? And I think Mark Jackson proved himself, man. Golden State is all right, team. They just got some turmoil right now that's from within. You know what
right.
I mean? But, that, you know what I'm saying, that's some other thing right now. You know what I'm saying right there? But, real quick, I wanted to get your opinion on Donald Trump wanting to buy the Buffalo Bills.
I was thinking about the Wilson family. Like, is there, I have no opinion for that. You think he buying the Buffalo Bills and then taking the Buffalo Bills out of Buffalo?
I certainly do. I think that, you know, because I remember when Donald Trump, you know, used to own the New Jersey Generals. back in the old USFL days, you know what I mean? And he tried to stockpile a team. They had Doug Flutie, they had Herschel Walker, they had a crazy squad right there, you know what I mean? But I just think that Donald Trump is all about Donald Trump. And I think if he was to buy the Buffalo Bills, I think he would move them out of Buffalo and take them to L.A. But hold on one second. We got another call on the line. Shay, what's good, man? Welcome to the biggest show, man. This is the Action. What's poppin'?
What's up, man?
What's good, Playboy? What's the deal, man?
I'm chilling, man. Chilling. Watch the boy this weekend, man.
Uh-huh.
Watch your favorite boxer in the world, man.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna let you speak, man. What was your opinion on it? How he looked to you, man?
It was a cool fight, man. It was cool. He looked alright. He still ain't ready for my dude, though. I know you think so, but he ain't ready for him, man.
Okay. All right. We're gonna see.
Ain't ready for a boy to play defense and can move around the ring, man. That's why he lost that first fight to Bradley.
That's why he lost that fight to Brown. You can't even say it with a straight face. My dude.
That's why it came down to. He can't cut off the ring. He's just trying to punch. He's trying to throw a million punches. He can't do that with Floyd. You know that.
Man, listen, if you had to keep it all the way 100 with you, man, I'm telling you, I don't know what the real deal is going to be. What you think that Floyd going to do to Marcus Maidana, man?
Do what he do to everybody else, beat him up for 12 rounds.
All right.
This is every time Floyd fight, it's always a big puncher. And we go through this every time Floyd fight, and they never touch you. Marcus Maidana going to get into something that he ain't never got into before, and he's going to be frustrated halfway through the fight like everybody else do because they can't touch this man just jabbing and pot-shotting him all fight and win every round.
Right. Okay, so with Maidana's going to come looking for Floyd. That's like he came looking for Adrian Broner. He wanted to get into a scrap with Adrian Broner. So is Floyd gonna run from the scrap, or is he gonna sit down on his punches and try to duke it out with Marcus Maidana? Because I want to tell you, if Marcus Maidana hit Floyd Mayweather one time, it's gonna be done.
I agree with you on that, but it's a lot of fighters we could have said that for though. It's a lot of fighters we could have said that about Floyd Mayweather.
But you understand my point though. Maidana is gonna come looking for Floyd. He's gonna come and see like if I gotta get knocked down even, I'll eat that just so I can get a chance to hit him. You know what I mean? Because that was his thought going into the Broner fight. He's gonna take getting hit to get his hits in. You know what I mean?
But what I'm saying is how many times he could come looking for him, but the problem is, can you get him?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Do you think Floyd going to exchange with Marcus Maidana?
Nah, he ain't going to do that.
Okay, so you didn't
ask for that.
My point for me. Okay, all right. You're right. I got you. Because I'm saying all it's going to take is one time, son. I'm telling you. Because nobody saw that coming with the Adrian Broner fight. Come on, Shay. Nobody saw that coming, my dude.
I didn't see it coming until Adrian Broner got in there acting like a clown, man.
He deserved to get whooped for that, acting like a clown.
He wasn't even serious about the situation.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Maidana just has a puncher's chance. You know what I mean? I'm not really expecting nothing. You know what I mean? Because like you said, everybody, you know, what is it, 45 and 0 now? You know what I mean? 45 tried, 45 failed, whatever. You know what I mean? So he does what he does, man. But until he gets into the ring with my man, Manny P, in the place to be, most definitely, you know what I mean? It's not going to really, you know, it's not going to have no effect on me, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he did what he did, man. You know, Bradley's a decent fighter, man. But you know what, Shay? What do you think about the Provodnikov fight? Do you think that took a lot out of Bradley, yo? Because that fight was a wild Rocky fight, yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
But Bradley was just trying to knock him out too much instead of box, man.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to knock Manny out, man. Go out here and box him, man. You ain't got to knock everybody out. You can still win without a knockout, man. He was trying to knock the man out.
Right.
Can't go with him toe for toe like that. His hands quick enough.
He wanted to try to prove a point that, you know what I mean, that he was going to, you know, not, he was going to try to be denied. They was going to try to play him out on the decisions or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I mean, Bradley, you know, he'll be back, man. You know what I mean? You live and learn, man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, Manny was going to do his numbers and be Manny. You know what I mean? But another fight with Marquez, man, I'm not really trying to see that, Shay.
I'd rather see a Bradley and Manny 3.
then Marquez and Manny 5. I'm really not see that. Anything you want to say, man, about it being Jackie Robinson Day? Anything like that? You want to touch on that a little bit?
Just shout out to Jackie Robinson. I want to tell Tia too. I'm so happy that this NBA regular season is over with, so they quit putting them bums in the purple and gold on prime time.
Watch yourself. Watch yourself. You better be
You know I'm on strike, so
I have a setting up until I...
She's on strike, so... yeah, so speaking of that, my dude... yeah, how's your Miami? What's your real feelings, man, about your Miami Heat, man? Now that you know that you're gonna have the number 2 seed in the East, and you know you're not really playing, you know, on the level that you used to play going into the end of the season, man. You think that fire is still there to get that, you know, that three-peat, man, to go into the finals for 4 years in a row? You think they still have that hunger to make it there?
Yeah, we ready. You'll see in the playoffs. We ready, man. We already turned it up another notch. We're not worried about nobody in the East. I'm telling you that now. We're not worried about nobody in the East. Everybody want to keep talking this Brooklyn and all that regular season stuff. We're not worried about Brooklyn in the playoffs.
So it's no reason for as a Heat fan to be concerned about how, you know, the end of the season or, you know, the situation with D. Wade or how you're going to fit Greg Oden to get, you know, meaningful minutes. You know what I mean, in the playoffs, and so there's no concern. So it's going to be a smooth ride through the Eastern Conference to the NBA Finals.
It's going to be a pretty smooth ride. Watch what I say. It's going to be a pretty smooth ride. We right where we want to be. We great. Once the playoffs start, the regular season's out of our mind. This is a whole new season this weekend.
Okay, I hear you.
My sense of humor to you. I hope y'all fall flat on yesterday. I hope y'all get out and nothing, no three-peat. You know, that's just good luck to you all for me.
Well, we thank you. We thank you. You watch us hold that ring up. You watch Bron Bron and Wade bring their kids out when they win their championship again. You can see all the glory. We appreciate that, kid. We appreciate that. I just hope y'all do something next year so you can watch some basketball NBA next year, because you didn't get to watch none this year. 82-game season, you didn't get to watch none. That's not fair to us. I know how you love sports, and that's not fair to you, kid. That is not fair to you.
Careful, watch it now.
Wow. Would you like to respond to Mr. Shay there?
You know what? You better watch your mouth. I'm telling you right now, the Heat will not be three-peating.
Man, you still got them preseason predictions we made.
I gotta look at the archives. They're in the archives somewhere. I know the good people at GQ Palace hold me down. I gotta dig them up in the archives, man. I do remember I said the Toronto Raptors was gonna make some noise. I do remember that though.
Oh yeah, you did. Yep.
Kia says she's going to be on strike this season since Kobe got hurt, and you know she's not feeling the coaching scenario out there. So she says she's going to be on strike. But I don't know. Greg here.
So when he played on the flight of stairs, he said he came on strike, but he didn't play on the flight of stairs yet. So I'm still waiting for the flight of stairs.
She's trying to assassinate Mike D'Antoni. You know what I mean? So she's trying to get him bumped off and all that. But man, as far as your Heat are concerned, man, I don't know, man. I think that this playoff scenario right here, it might be a little tough go for them, man. Oh, Mr. Shea is dusting off his championship trophies right now. It's all good. It's all good. But I think, I think the Miami Heat are going to have a little tougher go of it this season, man, just because, you know, yeah, they're cracks in the armor. I think they're thinking about more than, you know, trying to, you know, three-peat. I think they're thinking about after the season, you know what I mean? You know, can they just turn it on like that, getting, you know, Dwayne Wade back and, you know, getting, you know, Greg Oden some significant minutes where he could be of use, you know, in crunch time, you know what I mean? Not having three fouls in the first quarter where you have to really coach the game differently and you can't even go to him when you really need him. So I think that the Miami Heat, you know, this is going to be their toughest test, I think. You know what I mean? So they've been in the finals three straight years. You know what I mean? They won two in a row. You know what I mean? So I think this is going to be their toughest test. And if they win it, they deserve it. And that's basically all I can say to that. You know what I mean? The Indiana Pacers, they asked for the number one seed. They said they were going to get the number one seed. They got the number one seed. Now, basically, let's see what they do with it.
Yeah.
That's what that boils down to. You know, they harped all season about, you know, we're going to be the number one seed. We, you know, our mission is to have the last game in our house and this and that. So you got exactly what you asked for. So now we're going to see how it affects you and see if you can get past. I think they're going to play Atlanta in the first round and see what you're going to do. And I think that's going to show a lot in how Indiana moves during the postseason. And every round that they win, it's going to be more pressure on them because they're going to be the number one seed. So now they got to win.
I don't know. I was reading before I left the office.
Mm-hmm.
The situation was going on down in Indiana.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. And it's the wrong time of the year for them to have, you know, situations like it's going on with from within. You know what I'm saying?
Stuff like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a good look for them. It's definitely not a good look for them right now. And maybe, you know, this is a sign that, you know, if they don't make it to a certain level, let's say NBA Finals, that they both team up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you're talking about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about Frank Vogel. You know, he was on the hot seat. You know what I mean? Somebody said something about he had got replaced, or Larry Bird or something like that or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, even with the players, Roy Hibbert, you know, Paul George, you know, even Lance Stevenson, you know what I'm saying? They have to put together a team instead of, you know, just a bunch of players that's gonna win, but they're not gonna show up when it's time for them to show up. And you know, everybody, you know, they were the sexy pick when they were like 24-5. You know, when they were like 17-2. You know what I mean? Everybody was rocking with Indiana Pacers, and they were going to do this, they were going to do that, they were going to do the third, and they backed into the number one seed. They got the number one seed in the East, true enough, but they backed into it. I don't think that, I think that they're playing, you know, with house money right now. They're going to a series, and I think that they'll take it to a decided game, even if they played Atlanta in the first round, because Atlanta faced them tough. If they go into a first-round series, deciding game against Atlanta at home, they might lose. And this is my, you know what I mean? That's how I feel about Indiana Pacers right now. You know what I mean? You don't know what you're going to get out of them. I think that, you know, for them to get back into where they need to be, Kia and Shea, I think they need to sweep
They needed to sweep the first round and really just, like, take a 3-0 lead in the second round or something like that. They just really, you know, people know they back in the building. You know? But for right now, nobody's really scared of Indiana. Nobody cares about them. They're not getting no love.
And the all the stuff that they're going through right now, personally, it's like that. Their mindset got to be in the same. This is what they wanted. They wanted this. They got it. They're on a form platform. You better come out and produce what you want this. And you go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean that's they didn't even talk that mess when they had Reggie Miller and Rick Smits and Chuck Person and Mark Jackson Vern Fleming. You know what I mean? So I mean Indiana, you know, they talk it. They see, you know, now it's a part of the season now where you get to show and prove.
You say something like this affect a team or a player's motivation in winning. Whether it's off the court or in the court, something going on in the locker room, you know, blah, 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 you know, it was something that was posted going on in the Pacers right now. So you probably saw it, do you think, not even the Pacers, just any other team, like any other player going through, like say you use a Tigers incident with Chris Fielder and all that incident, you think it affects the players as a whole team to get past everything in order to win a championship?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it affects the players. I think it affects, you know, the whole, you know, scenario, the whole season, the whole how you move and how, because you're all trying to win, and this is going to be a distraction. You know what I'm saying? So how could you have this distraction and still be focused on the task at hand, which is winning a championship? You know, and you know the situation that happened with Prince Fielder. In his situation, was trying to, you know, they tried to keep it, you know, as quiet as possible, but it affected him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, you know, those things are definitely going to show in your play. You change your demeanor, you know, something might be going on behind the scenes that we don't know about or whatever. But, again, the locker room knows, you know. So if you know, the locker room feels a certain way about a certain player, or the locker room, you know, acts a certain way. And for example, Kia, you look at it like this. You look at your point guard, right? You got a point guard. And say, for example, the locker room is fractured. The locker room has no – everybody's going their own way in the locker room. Nobody, you know, is showing no team unity, all right? You got the point guard in the game. He drives to the lane. He gets hit by the center. He falls down on the ground. None of his teammates go over there to help him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That type of situation.
Okay.
Or somebody gets into a fight on the football field even, and none of his teammates went over there to help him. So that doesn't show, that shows kind of like everybody's going their own way. There's no unity. There's no support system. Nobody's got each other's back. So, yeah, I think it does affect you on the field, whatever's going on.
I say that because I just go back to the Lamar Odom situation. Had a great year, played won sixth man award, his first major, you know, award. You know, that he did that reality show, you know, Odom and Lamar, whatever that crap was. And I'm sitting here to myself, and then get into the 2011 championship and get swept by Dallas. I'm sitting here to myself, was he 15? Did he think this was going to be okay? I said to Diz, she convinced me that he don't run with the Kardashian. I said, Chloe wouldn't even know what a six-man award is. But yet it's him. Look at him now.
Yeah.
I think they don't need to do reality shows while they're still playing. Do it when you finish retiring. You retire, you can do all reality shows you want to do. It. But while you're playing, there's no reality show going. Are you kidding me? I was so pissed that and then it gets wet by
right.
This is a reality show that wasn't going to last and didn't last because
this is the reality show that's going on right now.
You know what I'm saying? This is the reality show that they need to be filming right now. He can't find, you know what I mean? He's, you know, at his wit's end. Then, you know, the Knicks thinking about signing him. He's, you know, trying to get a deal over there in Italy somewhere and got hurt. This is the reality show right here for him. That's about none of that Hollywood glamour fake stuff. You know what I mean? This is the reality show right here.
I'm a big fan of his, and I think he just has a unique sixth style of how he's rebounding. And all that he had, so I was so happy with his tennis man, you know, because he worked it, he earned it, and then he got distracted.
Lamar Odom is nice, man, from when, you know, I was watching, you know, dealing with what he was dealing with, high school or whatever, finally going to college, man, getting his situation. He was at Rhode Island. He was doing his numbers, you know what I mean? So Lamar Odom is that dude, but I guess you know, fame and whatever fortune, you know, fame and fortune, you know, affects people different ways. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is. Just wish him the best. That's all you can do.
If he fell down, and I'm pretty sure this one got him, because when the Lakers, you know, was done with him, and then he went to the Clippers, and it, you know, and it's like, you don't learn to be humble now all over again. Because you were on the top of the tier. 6 years in the war, you had a great championship. Like, you know, that Celtics series. You know, you just 2009.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen, hold that thought. We got Angie in the building. Angie, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's good?
What's going on, Mayor? And what's Kia, that? Hi, Kia. Or whoever else is on the line. I don't know if anybody else is here. I just chimed in.
Yeah, Shay was in the building. What's going on?
I can't call it. Just, you know, shouting y'all out, see what's going on.
Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
You
know what I'm saying?
You can say that 1,800 times again.
I heard that.
So what's going on? What y'all discussing right now? I heard Lamar Odom.
Yeah, we talk about Lamar Odom right now, you know what I mean? He was talking about his situation, you know what I mean? And, you know, he's getting ready to try to, you know, make his situation pop with the Knicks again. And I just was like, you know, maybe, you know, it just, everybody takes a different route, man. Everybody's route is different. You know what I'm saying? So basically, you know, we know he's a, you know, a very good basketball player. He just got caught up in some things. You know, he comes from, you know, he built himself up to make himself into a champion. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he should definitely be on a higher pedestal that we give him credit for right now. And, you know, dealing with the reality shows and all that Hollywood stuff with the Kardashians or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so what I said was he's dealing, the reality show is right now.
Uh-huh.
You know
with him
saying?
Not being able to get on a team and,
you know what I mean?
Kinds of stuff. With all the talent he has, nobody wants to pick him up.
That's the reality
show. And
that's
reality
for you.
I think they're, you know what, like I said, if he goes to the Knicks, that is a great pickup. And it will be because he get his head back on strong. Knicks don't get the rebounds because Lamar is gifted that way. It's just something about him and those offensive boards. And it's just something about him.
He's a strong player.
I'm going to tell you like this. If Lamar Odom gets on the team, or more power to him. I just want him to contribute. We don't care about all of that other stuff with the guys that we had on the team. We just want you to contribute. When Latrell Sprewell came to the Knicks, I didn't care that he choked up PJ Carlisimo. I didn't care about that. I knew Latrell Sprewell was going to help the Knicks, and Latrell Sprewell was nice. And that was my dude, and he was going to bring some fire to the Knicks, and that's exactly what he did. He tore Madison Square Garden up. They
lit him up.
They couldn't stand Latrell Sprewell, but that was my dude, Latrell Sprewell, and the Knicks went to the finals.
Uh-huh.
Tell me nothing.
I know that's right. Latrell definitely was a big asset to the Knicks.
Hey, Angie, even though it was a strike year, we ain't going to say nothing about that, even though it was a shortened season, we ain't gonna say nothing about that.
But listen,
they went to the
we don't
want to
get anybody panties in a bunch about all that.
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
Patrick Ewing was hurt, so we don't want to get into all that. But again, you know what I mean? It is what it is. You make yourself into what to make yourself. They couldn't stand Sprewell, but that was my man. I was glad when Knicks got Spree.
Yeah, I messed with Sprewell hard. But the thing is, people tend to forget, like these owners, even the fans and stuff like that. Before they're basketball players or anything, they're humans first.
Yeah, that's right.
They're humans first. Every human down here is subjected to making mistakes because that's just how the flesh works. Mm. Number two, we're here to watch them play basketball. We're not here to judge their personal lives. You know, you understand? Even though they held at a higher standard because you're in the limelight, but you're looking at the mistake he did and forgot all about that he even knows how to play basketball. And number three, the athlete themselves really. I don't know if they need to take some kind of courses and how to conduct themselves or whatever, simply because you are held at a higher standard. This is how people are going to look at you. So now you got to think. You got to think before you act. You understand what I'm saying? And they're not doing that. Mm. And they're thinking now that their money can put them in any position that they want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the same people that build you up is the same ones that can tear you down. So, you know, what is it you want here? Are you here for the fame? Are you here for the money? Are you here for the love of the sport?
I disagree with that personal life. His personal life was brought into the... Any player that's outside, doing anything outside that reality show, it was brought onto the court.
Mm-hmm.
He brought his personal life onto the court. That Kardashian match was brought into the Lakers match. So 2011, we got swept by the Dallas Mavericks. So I disagree with you when you're saying about their personal life. No, they bring their personal life into
Oh, no, I
right
agree
here.
With that. They do. They do. Bring that there. They bring their own stuff there. There's no way he should have did a reality show.
No way Odom should have did a reality show. He should have waited until he got retired. Do a reality show when you retire.
That wise woman always told me you are the company you keep. You understand what I'm saying? You're dealing with the Kardashians. A lot of people out here trying to make them the kings and queens of America or whatever.
Please,
but listen,
Chloe,
you are what you are.
Through.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Who's through with this? He wouldn't even know what a six-man award is. He wouldn't even know when he played college ball. I was too thrilled. Too thrilled with that whole nonsense.
Because
I'm a big Odom fan. I like Odom, and he's going to be a great actor. I just was pissed with the Lakers.
It does affect the game because it starts mentally. Mentally, you got a lot of things going on. You understand? That's like when Kobe and Pau Gasol was going through that stuff, going through their beef. It showed on the court. It definitely showed. I said something going on with them. You could and my ex
Kobe
was He's a total Laker fan. And I said, there's something going on personal between them because you just saw how they was playing. Normally, their chemistry together on the court is crazy. Now it's to the point where they're not really passing the ball to each other. And you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. It shows now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they ain't show this shit because Kobe only played a few games. That right there, Kobe pushes the ball. Because you know what people have with the ball. You know when people say he's lazy, he doesn't, you know, whatever. Okay, fine. Kobe pushes his player. You know, and then, you know, they talk about trading Gasol, you know, whatever. Kobe, you know, tweeted. One thing he's not worried about, Gasol won't be traded. So, no, he wasn't traded. It was what's the name, traded instead of Gasol. You know, it's just that Kobe just had this mentality about he won't break from his teammates and stuff like that. Now, Kobe and Gasol thing, that wasn't nothing to me. It's just that how Kobe wants his players and his teammates to play.
How he taught them to play, you said?
How he wants them to play.
How he wants them to play.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Gasol is soft. But
you saying he's a soft player?
Yeah, Paul Gasol is soft as a player, yeah.
Because if you remember that 2008 series against the Garnett in that championship, Gasol, I'm sitting here like, what did we think we got Gasol? And then, you know, we lost that game series, the championship. I just couldn't believe it. I'm just like, you know, it is what it is. And then, you know, the company
Paul Gasol,
is 9 and
4. Paul Gasol, what I mean by that, Angie, is Paul Gasol, when he dominates, when he comes up with those
27 and 10 and 9 and all that. When he comes up with those numbers like that, he dominates, okay? He's noticeable. Then when he has a tendency to disappear as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you see Pau Gasol, you think of him as one of those top players. I like Pau Gasol. I like his game. You crazy?
That's what Pau Gasol is
where is he at?
I don't deal with the Lakers at all, but
right
there. I wouldn't mind
him being on the Knicks. My point about it being that you had so many chances, and Angie, the whole thing about it was, and what I was saying to these so-called diehard Knicks fans is they just wanted to get into the playoffs. Now, follow me, Angie. They wanted to get into the playoffs to get the eighth seed, which is cool. I'm a Knicks fan myself, right?
Right.
But who do you want in the first round of the playoffs? You want to see Indiana or Miami in the first round? What do you want to do with Indiana or Miami in the first round?
Let's keep it all the way Benjamin with it.
I'm a Knicks fan. So is that what you wanted in the first round? Oh, we made the playoffs. We're great. Anything can happen. Come on, yo.
Now you're going on a wing and a prayer. Really?
Thank you.
Come on.
Thank
now.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Not this day and age in sports. You can't do it.
That's all I'm saying. And what is it, for the extra revenue for the two home games? Come on now.
Y'all should have thought about that at the beginning when you had
a 1.5-game lead on Atlanta and you lost to Cleveland and Washington. That's what you should have thought about it.
That was crazy. They didn't deserve to be there.
You had plenty of opportunity when Carmelo Anthony scored 62 points. Oh, y'all was all on it. You was all on the street talking about the Knicks this and the Knicks that and the Knicks the third. I said Carmelo Anthony scored 62 points. So what?
Now what?
What does that mean? He scored 62. He could have scored 162 points. What does it mean?
And still didn't get him in the playoffs.
Phil Jackson is coming to the Knicks. So what? What does that mean?
Yeah.
He's going to be the president of basketball operations. When does that ever come into play? What? We don't hear about no president of basketball operations.
Well, see, that's going to be like a situation like Miami. Like Pat Riley is actually running their team. Their coaches just did a spot. We know how that goes. We already know the politics, Mayor. You understand?
Yeah.
You already know the problem.
Yeah,
we're
going to
give you a title
here.
My feelings.
I know. Angie, every team of mine has got a championship. Every team. Tampa Bay got a ring. Yankees got upteen rings.
You know what I'm saying?
Miami Hurricanes got rings. Syracuse, ours has got rings. Come on. Only team that don't have a ring.
Yeah.
The only one. All I want is one. Just one ring. We got close to 94. We lost to Houston Rockets. We got close to 99. We lost to San Antonio. Oh, man, I don't know what to say about my team.
All alumni from the Knicks. Like, what is it, an omen?
I don't know what's going on. You know, we try to get the big name player, then we got to put a team around the big name player, then the big name player don't want to show up. It's always something, you know what I mean?
They need to start the Knicks playing somewhere in the country where there's nothing around, nobody. There's too many distractions in New York or something. Mm. I don't know. I'm just coming up with some kind of logic. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You know,
you know, and, and, it's too many. You know, at first it was can Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire get along? They both play the same position, and they never really got a chance to play together because when Carmelo was there, Amari Stoudemire was hurt. When Amari Stoudemire was there, Carmelo Anthony was hurt. So, you know, these last little 15, 20 games right here where Amari Stoudemire is really starting to come back into his own and being, like, considered a player to be respected again. Now we're in a situation where is Carmelo going to come back? Or is Amari going to stay? Because now he has built his stock up. You understand what I'm saying? But who's going to take on that contract, though? That's our only saving grace with that. You know what I mean? Who's taking on that contract?
Isn't nobody going to take Amari's contract?
You know what I mean? So Amari Stoudemire, you know, turning back into his old self is a good thing.
It just happened a little too late. That's what it is.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It just happened. It happened. You know what I mean? But as far as the Knicks are concerned, you know, next year is going to be another wash. You know what I mean? But we just got to have to. Hopefully, we can make some things happen. I'm just hoping.
They need some young meat on that team.
They need something to go on with them.
But listen, I'm going to sign out. I got to run out, do some mommy duties. And I'm going to holler at you, Kaya.
Okay, Andy, thanks for calling. You know what it is all the time.
Yeah, see you later, Kia.
See you. Have a good one.
Okay,
I think Phil will come in and do something. I think this is something about that move that the Knicks did to make Phil, you know, basketball, you know. He's definitely going to put the right coach in that situation.
I hope so.
I can't see him putting any coach in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not used to being the bottom feeder. Should I say that?
He's not used to that.
And that won't be behind his name. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he has always associated himself with people with success and people who can keep success going. You know what I'm saying? So I think coming, he's going to do something, and it's going to be something that he's going to put the right guys, the right person, the right personnel in the right position to do what they need to do.
Right. Right. You're right. And to elaborate on that point a little bit more, like when Pat Riley came to the Knicks, as soon as he came to the Knicks were back in the building. You know what I mean? It wasn't no president of basketball operations.
Mm-hmm.
He was coming to coach the Knicks. And when Pat Riley came to coach the Knicks, it was on and popping from the door. That's what I'm talking about. If Phil Jackson, you know what I mean, much as they, you know, big him up and they exalt him as, you know, this top guy, whatever, the coach guy, whatever.
He has a resume to say that.
So do it. So come and do it in New York. That's all I'm saying. When Phil Jackson was coaching the Bulls, and when Phil Jackson was coaching the Lakers, and even after he left the game, you know, from coaching or whatever, after he won his titles or whatever, we was talking about Phil Jackson coming to coach the Knicks maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. It was a pipe dream. Phil Jackson coming coach. We wasn't talking about Phil Jackson coming to be the president of basketball operations. What is that? We were talking about him coming to coach. It would be a whole, you know what I mean? It would be a whole different vibe. The Knicks
the reason probably he took that and stuff like that, because I think the wear and tear on that hip, he doesn't want to travel that much no more.
Right.
That was one of the contention about, not traveling too much. But what I'm saying is, if he has his hands in the pot, he the only one can stir the pot up.
Yeah.
Can't nobody else stir the pot but him. I don't think Phil Jackson will bring anybody unqualified to sit at his table.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a certain people will be able to sit at the table. Everybody's not going to be able to sit at the table. And I think Phil Jackson have always said, and you see those guys from Clemens, all those guys that lined against Phil Jackson in the Lakers reign, when he was the Lakers coach, with the Bulls reign, you always saw success on each one of those guys because they always won.
I mean, well, they're going to have to do it again. And you know, we're waiting patiently. We've been waiting patiently, you know what I mean, for a long time. And you know, to keep it all the way real, it's just like, you're hoping it happens, but you're prepared for, you know, anything, you know what I mean? But
You know, Phil Jackson is a good look. We haven't had a real good
and
look
I think
like
he's
that
one of those
in a long
good
time.
Looks, I think when he's one of those good looks that, you know, it don't need to be said whether he, whatever, whatever. But I think in the extra interviews when they leave or whatever, off the court and whatever, he will have, and out of respect, a heart-to-heart talk with Carmelo Anthony. Why wouldn't he? Because that's beyond respected. Carmelo knows what he, the Phil Jackson name just says Phil Jackson. He don't even have a full resume. It speaks value. Phil Jackson didn't go, oh, where? Everybody's going to drop everything. So only the Phil Jackson, because they know who he is. Some other coaches, well, oh, yeah, you saw someone.
The thing for me is if, you know, Carmelo wants to, you know, if he stays in New York, you know, that's going to prove that he wants to, you know, really serious about winning here,
mm-hmm.
and you got to respect him for that. If he leaves,
because
then, you know, he wants to win, and I can't blame him for that.
That's his mind, right? You can't blame him,
but
you know what?
I would respect him more if he stayed.
Right.
You know? He just used the Knicks as a stepping stone to get you some more money or whatever the case may be.
I don't think he used the Knicks as a step. I think he came here in determination that the Knicks were going to be that team. I think that's what he came.
To do what, though? We got Carmelo Anthony.
I don't think he came to New York just for just money alone. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think he did that. I just think he came teaching something. Now that Phil's coming here, I'm quite sure, you know, of course I'm quite sure I would love to be in the room with him and Phil's talking it out. This is the plan. This is what we have planned for season 2015, 2016. This is what we need to get to where we need to be at. You hear me and I'm going to hear you out. And they talking and they talking and talking talking until clearer heads have prevailed.
I hope they're talking about point guard.
Well, this is what I'm saying. They're going to make out, you know, I'm quite sure, and he, like I said, Phil Jackson, you know, of course I would love him in L.A. I mean, I'm still waiting for that bum to fall on his head, but you know the Knicks grabbed him up. So,
we need
you know,
a point guard. That's what we need.
Okay. I mean, you gotta look for some free agency, because there's definitely nothing in the draft for the first, you know, something to gotta look and see what's out there.
For New York City to have so many, you know, point guards to come through the NBA, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them played for the Knicks. None of them really made a big splash. You know what I'm saying? You know, you had Mark Jackson had a nice career with the Knicks. You had Ross Strickland, you know what I mean? Stephon Marbury, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys played for the Knicks, man. And nobody really, you know, from New York City made a real big splash. You had all those named guys.
And
guys
why
with
that?
Names.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and I was just thinking about it.
You know how teams have classified themselves. You know when that team has classified, they got the who's the best, who's the best point guard that played. Who would you consider the best point guard that played for the Knicks?
Walt Frazier.
Okay.
Period. Ain't no question about that. Clyde Frazier,
okay.
Baby, all day. But
okay.
If I had to pick another guard besides Clyde Frazier,
mm-hmm.
point guard, oh wow! I would say point guard. I would say either Mark Jackson or Derek Harper.
Yeah.
The Nets and the Knicks were live. When the Knicks had Derek Harper, you know what I mean? Derek Harper, John Starks in the backcourt. Come on now.
Okay, as a Knicks fan, I'm not saying any other team, we're going to bust ourselves down. Like I said, we all have our great season years. What's the best year for you for the Knicks?
For me, for the Knicks, 94.
Okay.
The 94 season when the Knicks was in the finals against the Houston Rockets.
What was the so significant about that whole, not the season, but the whole season? Not the players, but the season.
The whole season, because we knew what we had. We knew we had a great team. The Knicks was going to rock. The Knicks had, we had everything. Everything was working. You know what I mean? We had, everything was rocking. We was like the top team in the East. We was doing what we were supposed to do. We was winning games. We was coming up big. You know, the stars were shining. New York City was the place to be. It was rocking. Then OJ happened. OJ messed up the whole seat. Oh, man, I don't even want to get into it. But 94, well, to me, was the best Knicks team. The best thing. We had a couple of good teams, a team that lost in the finals, Eastern Conference Finals in Indiana when Patrick Ewing missed a layup when he should have buffed it. That team was good. You know what I mean? A couple of other teams the Knicks had were good, but that 94 team I just remember because, you know, I just was so disappointed. John Starks was 2-for-18, and he just kept shooting the ball, kept shooting the ball, kept shooting the ball. Pat Riley kept Rolando Blackman on the bench, and I, you know, we just was trying to figure out why did he keep Rolando Blackman on the bench, and, you know, the Knicks lost the finals and used to Rockets, but... another thing I remember about that finals is Vernon Maxwell, Sam Cassell, and Robert Horry was killing the Knicks. They were killing the Knicks. Everything they threw up dropped. So, you know, and plus sometimes the Knicks would make, you know, boneheaded plays like, you know, Oakley would, you know, foul somebody at a bad time or Mason to do something crazy or whatever. But, you know, we had our chances or whatever, but that team,
okay,
you know, it stands
out
to me, and I remember.
In that 94 season, who was the player of the year for the Knicks?
To me? It had to be Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
It had to be Patrick Ewing coming up big, you know, that 18-footer was lovely, you know what I mean? You know, making big defensive plays, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I get on Patrick Ewing, man, because, you know, he always cried about he wanted the ball. And I always say he never do nothing when he get the ball. And, you know what I mean? But Patrick Ewing, you know, if it wasn't for Patrick Ewing, you know, the Knicks would, you know, they definitely wouldn't be where they got to. You know what I mean? So, you know, and it was a big thing about him coming to the Knicks. So we got the number one pick in 85, you know. It was a big thing about Patrick Ewing, and everybody knows that was going to be the turnaround for the New York Knicks. But unfortunately, we just couldn't get a championship. We got to two finals, you know what I mean? One of them, he didn't even play because he was hurt, you know what I'm saying, against San Antonio in 99 when Tim Duncan and David Robinson, they beat us. That's when we had Sprewell on the team on the Knicks. But, yeah, Patrick Ewing. You know, even though I give him a lot of grief, I ain't gonna front. I give Patrick Ewing a lot of grief. You know what I mean? So I expected more out of him. And plus, it was the Georgetown thing. That's why, you know what I mean? I give Patrick Ewing mad grief, yo. Because I couldn't stand Patrick Ewing when he was at Georgetown, yo. Couldn't stand him. Simple math. It was as simple as that. But, yeah, that's the memories I have of my Knicks team. You know, and I think we were even a little bit all right after Fat Riley left. You know, when we had Jeff Van Gundy. Yeah, you know, pretty decent teams or whatever, but we just couldn't get over that hump, you know? So that's what it was, with the Knicks or whatever. You're listening to After Further Review, man. You got the mayor in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. I want to shout out my callers for tonight, man. Kia was in the building. I had my man Shay check in. Angie checked in and all that. I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate the listeners, too, man. Every Tuesday night it goes down, 8 to 10 p.m., GQ Palace Radio. I definitely appreciate the big homie Rich for holding me down. Miss Lavina doing what she do, man. Check out GQ Palace, man, every night of the week, man. It goes down. We got something for your mind, body, and soul, man. Every week, man, it goes down. So as witness, you know, you got the mayor in the building on Tuesday nights. Tomorrow night is going down with the Diva Squad. Check them out, man. They do what they do. Miss Andy was on the check-in tonight. And then they got Chicky. My man Rakim Singleton does his comedy thing, man, right after them. So we got something for you, man, on Wednesday nights, man. Thursday nights it goes down with the Belvins, man. Big KL. There's Tiffany in the house, man. And Shorty KL in the building, man. Doing a relationship thing, letting you know what it is, how they living, what goes on in their situation. You know what I mean? Check them out on Thursday nights. And you got my man Friday. Big Rich holding it down on the entertainment tip, man, on Fridays, man. You never know who's going to slide through and talk to the big homie about what they got popping. You know what I mean? So check him out on Friday nights, man. My man Rich Money does his thing. Sundays, Miss Lavina starts off the week lovely. You know what I mean? With Spiritual Sundays and all that, man. My man Scribio, Timmy Hunter, brother Timmy in the building. You know what I mean? Gets you started off right. You know what I mean? making it happen. Monday is Unsigned Artist Radio. You know what it is. They do what they do. I'm ready, man. Holler at your boy. You know what I'm saying? And Tuesdays, man, we back here with the mayor, man, after further review and all that. This Friday, man, just got the word, man. You know what I mean? Rob Bass will be in the building with my man Rich Money on Friday night doing the entertainment thing. So make sure you check him out on Friday night, man. GQ Palace Radio, Rob Bass in the building. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Make sure you ask Rob Bass, man, why he was doing that dance in the video, man, him and Easy Rock. Make it do what it do, man. We having fun, man. You know what it is. It's the mayor, man. But we talk sports like we talk sports. So after further review, shout out to the season ticket, man. They do what they do, man. Shout out to War Room Sports once again, man. My man Dev and all of them holding it down, man. They doing the podcast network, man. Jumped off today. Big ups to them, man, for making it happen and for making me a part of their situation, man. Check me out, man. On War Room Sports, man. 3 times a week, it goes down. After further review, man, we almost at after further review number 500. So, man, I'm looking for some, you know, contributors, man. Shout out, holler at your boy, man. We've been doing this for a long time, man. Every day, man. We're getting up to after further review number 500. I got shout outs praying, man. If you want to shout out, man, or after further review 500, holler at the man. Let me know what's good. You know, I definitely got you, man. You know what I mean? After further review 500, sponsored by GQ Palace Radio. They don't know it yet, but sponsored by GQ Palace Radio. Look at Big Rich like, huh? He's up. We're in the building, man. After further review, GQ Palace, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out to all those other sports groups, man. You know what I mean? They do their thing, man, on Monday through Wednesday, but on Tuesday they get conspicuously quiet. I wonder why that is. But we'll figure that out as we go along. You know what I'm saying? again, Jackie Robinson Day, man. Shout out to the Major League Baseball, man, for acknowledging. Every player in the league will be wearing number 42 and acknowledging the Jackie Robinson and his contributions to Major League Baseball and to society as a whole. Shout out to you know, our peoples up there in Boston, man. Boston Marathon, man. They went through some things, man, a year ago, man. And so we just want to salute them and let them know that we with them, man. You know what I mean? Boston's strong until we get on that court or on that ice, on that field. You know what it is, man. Yankees all day. talked a little NHL, man. Talked a little NBA playoffs. I had Key in the building. Had my man Shay in the building talking about some little boxing or whatever. Angie checked in with me, man. Holler at your boy, man, every Tuesday night, man. It goes down 8 to 10, man. We do what we do, man. After further review, we talk about it, man. And if you want to talk about it, we right here for you. So that's what it is. Again, the NHL playoffs, man, is dropping puck tomorrow night. Best time of the year, man. You want to get into some real exciting stuff. Hockey is exciting. People say they don't like it. This and that and the third, but this is the best time of the year when it comes to hockey. The Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers, that's going to be a big series. You know, the best thing about that, the first round in the series in the NHL playoffs is 7 games. So you never know what to expect. But expect some fireworks when you got the Rangers and the Flyers playing in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. you know, anything can happen, man. You know, just expect some excitement. The goaltender's going to stand on their head. Tucker Rask from the Boston Bruins, watch him. He's a great goaltender. Watch Henrik Lundqvist from the Rangers. He's another great one. Ben Bishop from the Tampa Bay Lightning, 6'7", and he does his thing, man. So the goaltenders are definitely going to be some players to watch. If Sidney Crosby can, you know, do some things for the Pittsburgh Penguins, Steven Stamkos can make some things happen out in Tampa Bay. And we definitely going to rock out, man, with the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to definitely keep you updated on what's going on because I'm definitely interested and I'm definitely tuning in to the NHL playoffs. So rock out with After Further Review and rock out with the mayor, and we'll keep you updated on the NHL playoffs as only we do it on After Further Review. Kia, you back in the building. What's goodie?
Who you got winning it? Like,
Rocky, you know what? I have it. Thank you for putting me on the spot again. I always can rely on you for that.
Oh yeah, of course.
I'm gonna make my pick on after further review in the morning. But I did say my pick was gonna be the Rangers and the Colorado Avalanche to make it to the finals. I just didn't pick a winner yet.
Mm.
I think the Rangers, man. We got Martin St. Louis towards the end of the season. Him and Nash can make some noise in the playoffs, and Lundqvist can, do his thing and go. I think that the Rangers, Rangers can win. That first playoff series against the Flyers is going to be a great one. I think it's going to go 7 games. The Flyers are no joke. But the Rangers can come out of that. I really don't see nobody in the East that could rock with us. Boston Bruins, they shaky right now. You know what I mean? They won the President's Trophy for the most points in the league. You know what I mean? But I'm not really trusting the Boston Bruins right now. I think the Rangers are good as anybody in the East.
Oh. That's what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think of his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I want to say Evan. I was reading today. He's going to, I'm trying to think of his name. You know about, oh my God, Evan I can't think of his name, but I know it. Start with an E. His last name start with an
M. And so you could always come back and remember it by next week. It's all good.
But you don't think the Bruins? So you think the Bruins are strong enough to you think they're strong enough?
The Boston Bruins are strong enough to do what? To
win
the Stanley Cup. I don't know. I like the goaltender, like Tuukka Rask is the truth. I like him. I think he's one of the best goalies in the league. And for Boston to make a run, I think they can make a run. But will they make a run? I don't know. They play the Red Wings in the first round, And I think they'll win that first round series. But then anything after that, all bets are off. You know who else I like in the playoffs? I like Montreal. I like the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
They got a guy named PK Subban. He's like me and you. You know what I mean? He's one of the brothers in the game. And he's real, real good. You know what I'm saying? So, but as far as your Boston Bruins question is concerned, if the Rangers don't win the East, the Bruins probably will come out of the East.
Okay.
But as far as the West is concerned, If St. Louis, they got Ryan Miller from Buffalo for a reason. This is the reason why they got Ryan Miller, for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But St. Louis is kind of like playing down right now, you know what I mean? And I think that the Chicago Blackhawks, they're defending Stanley Cup champions. And if they want to get it, they got to get by St. Louis. And St. Louis is expected to do some good things in this series. As far as the other teams in the West, Anaheim, they could make some noise. Even the Los Angeles Kings can make some noise, And as far as, I picked Colorado to come out of the West because I thought that, they had the better matchup. I think that they could beat Minnesota in the first round, and then they could beat either out of St. Louis or Chicago, and they play in the second round, get into the Western Conference Finals, and they could do whoever they play in the Western Conference Finals, be it Anaheim or San Jose, they can get past them and make it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals when they play the Rangers. And that's how I had it picked out, Colorado Avalanche and the New York Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's how we get down, and we rock with hockey on After Further Review. Before we get out of here, anything you'd like to say before we go? We got a few minutes left.
Just honoring Jackie Robinson with a lot of great tributes to him today. It's always good to honor somebody, a great statue. So, just celebrating his legacy and, baseball. And I just read something about him, but Major League Baseball was sharing stories about, his legacy and stuff. So,
No doubt. And we definitely appreciate you calling in and checking in and all that good stuff right there. Anything about the NFL you wanted to add in about,
I'm ready for May 8th. I'm ready, because the first pick and maybe that Dak, it's just going to be something about
that first pick.
It's going to be something about that first pick.
We're going to do the draft. We're going to do the after further review NFL draft coming up in a couple. And probably
and when
not
is the
next
eighth?
Week. Definitely not. Huh?
When does the 8th fall on? Does it fall on a Tuesday? That
I think
Tuesday?
That falls on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Oh,
let me see. Hold
on.
May the 8th.
I hope it falls on a Tuesday.
May the 8th falls on a Thursday, yo.
Okay, so we'll do the draft that Tuesday then.
Yeah, so we got to do the draft that Tuesday. So
that Tuesday,
we'll do the
yeah.
draft May the 6th. We'll do the NFL
yeah, okay.
draft May the 6th. So how that consists of, like we did last year,
mm-hmm.
everybody will have,
mm-hmm.
you know, the first 5 picks or whatever. We run through it
mm-hmm.
right quick or whatever. And so we'll do that. That's upcoming May the 6th. We'll do the NFL draft. A couple of other things coming up before we get out of here. We got to do the NHL playoff picks. I'll do that tomorrow morning. NBA playoffs coming up probably next week. We'll do the NBA playoffs and run through that. Have the second week of the MLB rankings. You see how I put the Milwaukee Brewers first, right?
Mm-hmm.
I put the Brewers first. You know what I mean? They're doing their thing until they lost today. So that's,
mm-hmm.
that's what it is. So we do the MLB rankings. Shout out once again to Bubba Watson. He won the Masters. Shout out once again to the people of Boston, man. We salute you. We respect you and all that good stuff until we see you in the playoffs and then all bets are off. Shout out to War Room Sports, man. The podcast network jumped off today, man. Shout out to Dev and all the homies, man. Look like you enjoyed your trip to Dallas, man, for the NCAA for the Final Four and all of that, man. Look like you had a good time and all that. Hope that you took care of your tax situation. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Better than, you know, take care of them before they come looking for you. You don't want that in your life. Once again, shout out to Jackie Robinson, man. Thank you for all your contributions, sir. Thank you to your family, man, for keeping your legacy alive. Thank you for Major League Baseball, man, for shining a light on a very, 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 very historical figure, man, and a historical moment in society and all of that. And just thank you for just, you know, giving us a platform, man, being able to, you know, speak, you know, talk sports, man, and talk about, you know, what we think and how we feel and, you know, how certain situations affect us, man, because sports affects everybody, man. This is After Further Review, man. I'm the mayor in the building one more time. Shout out to the big homie Rich for holding me down, man, making it happen. Miss Lavina behind the board. She does what she does, with a big smile on her face all the time. And shout out to you, man, the listeners, man. Every day, check me out, After Further Review. We're headed towards After Further Review 500. I'm expecting to hear from you. If I don't, I'm going to come looking for you. You know how I do. I don't talk no subliminals. I put names in the building. So if I say your name, you know you're going to be in the building.
What
so you know
doing?
That's
what
it is.
What are you doing with that post?
After Further Review 500, man, I'm just going to shout out everybody, man, that, you know, participated, you know, and helped make After Further Review what it is, man. You know, whether you, you know, you like it, you love it, you don't, whatever, whatever. I'm going to shout you out, man, and that's just what it is, because we give back, man. That's what it is, man. Everybody's involved. You know what I'm saying? Whether you know it or not, everybody's involved in After Further Review, and it's 500 of them. So that means you could go back. Facebook or whatever, you could look all the way back from like last year, 2 years ago, you'll see the numbers build up, man, and it's just, we get ready to get to 500, and I'm kind of proud of that, and that shows consistency. You get up every morning, man, every morning.
Yes,
and,
it's like all
that. And drop
it's like
all it's hot.
That.
And drop
I
it
do
like
commend
it's hot.
You. I do commend you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
So that's what it is, man. So
it's like the morning. It's like the morning paper in shorthand.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's
how exactly
I'm
what it is. It's like the morning sports page in shorthand.
Yeah. So that's what I meant it to be. And
if you don't know who won last
up,
night, you can
mm-hmm.
go to After Field Front Review and see who won last night. It's already in shorthand.
That's right. So that's basically how we, you know, formatted it, how we wanted it to be. And I do it because I love it, man. You know, people be like, well, why are you wasting? I don't waste my time
it's
doing it. I do
it's
it because I love it, man.
It's yeah,
definitely,
it's
you know, and people appreciate it. So that's
yeah,
the bug out
yeah,
for me. People like, you know, yo, thank you, whatever you put me on, this and that. And I try to touch on everything, man. Tennis, NASCAR, volleyball, whatever it is. If it's a sport, I try to touch on it, you know what I mean? So the game of the day, the True School Jam of the day, man. Shout out to everybody, man, who, you know, checks me out, man. Everybody who responds, everybody who cares, you know what I mean? Because sports is something that I love, man. I've been rocking since I was little. And I hope that, you know, it just helps get you to your day or gives you something to talk about, man, in your other sports groups. So once again, man, this is the mayor, man. Next Tuesday, man, you know what it is, same time, 8 to 10 p.m., 646-200-3838 is the map. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. We're going to have a lot of conversation for you as we talk sports, like we talk sports. Shout out to Big Rich, Mr. Sabrina, GQ Palace Radio, always hold me down. This is the mayor. I'm out of here. Peace. Next week.
You are now tuned in to GPS, GQ Pilot Sport, after further review, with the mayor every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. He's doing it hard, body karate. He's better than it,
We need every team, every game, every season. Hey, listen, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, you got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is every version of the recap. Recap. Game 7 of the draft. Season the rematch. Players and coaches. The mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. And when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Hey y'all, this is Halfpipe from Son of Berserk, No Self-Control. Keep it tuned to the mayor after further review on GQ Palace Radio.
Johan,
and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. There's some great sports talk and debate. Check out the mayor on After Further Review on Tuesday night. Call in.
GQ Palace, Radio.
Hey, this your girl T. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, I'm chilling with the mayor on GQ Palace Sports. He's doing a hard body karate. It's bada bay.
Yo, what up? Peace world. This your boy Mellow Man Ace. Right now you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
GPS, GQ Palace Sports, after further review, with the mayor every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. He's doing it hard body karate. It's butter, baby. Butter, baby.
GQ Palace Radio.
Mojo! Big Mojo!